You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around our region of Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town. Today, we're talking with Ann Velisis. She's the mayor of Port Orford, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor.
Hello, Mike. Good morning.
So tell me, where is Port Orford?
Oh, we are located on the south coast, just south of Cape Blanco, which is, you know, one of the westernmost points on the west coast. In fact, I think we're the westernmost city in the lower 48. And we look across the bay to Humbug Mountain. So we're really in a stunningly beautiful location down here.
Well, tell me about it. What's the land size, the population, the demographics?
Yeah. Well, first I'll start, you know, I started by telling you about the land. We're a small fishing town. We've got the only dolly dock on the West Coast, which means our fishing boats come in and are lifted out by cranes and put onto the dock. Our fishermen bring in a lot of rockfish and Dungeness crab. So that's kind of one part of our community. We've also got a lot of beautiful state parks and the Wild and Scenic Elk River nearby. So there's lots of things to do if people want to walk beaches or trails. And we've just got a wonderful, caring, creative, and deeply engaged community, I'd say. And that probably goes with the territory of being a very small community. We're probably about 1,000 people. It depends on if you take in the outside areas or just city limits. And we're very remote. So people take care of each other and build the culture here. We are an older community. About 60% of our residents are over age 60. And that's a really interesting thing because it means we've got a lot of retired people here who are willing to volunteer and put their shoulder into bringing some amazing things to our community. We've also got about 15% of our population is economically disadvantaged. So, you know, like many rural communities, we're like many rural communities in that regard. We've got similar problems to other places, but we're just a small population to figure out how to solve them.
Okay, so you're a small population. You're in a beautifully scenic place on the coast. You're remote. Your population is small, mostly older, a lot of retirement. What's the economic driver?
Well, fishing is really the big economic driver of our community. You know, we have a little under 30 fishing boats in our port that go out and fish. And the fish here, some of which you may be getting over in, I think, in the Ashland area from Port Orford Sustainable Seafood, but also a big chunk of our fish gets sent to other markets like San Francisco. So that's the biggest single economic driver. But we've got lots of small businesses, and we have tourism. Of course, people love to come to enjoy our community, which is distinctive in that it's, you know, we don't have a stoplight here. And so there's a lot. If you are the kind of person who likes a place that's off the beaten track, we're the place for you to come.
What's your tourism like? About how many people per year?
Oh, gosh, I'm not going to be able to give you an answer on that, Mike, but we have a lot of people coming through in the summer, but people also like to come in, like at this time of year, we've got a lot of fishermen coming over to do salmon fishing on the Elk and Sixes Rivers. We have people who like to come in the winter to do some storm watching, which is really fun to see big waves crashing in on the headlands. Things like that. Actually, for Halloween, our local community put on a new event, which was kind of a haunted maritime-themed Halloween event, which was really a blast. So there's always something to do.
Well, that sounds like fun. You mentioned the dolly dock. I had never heard of a dolly dock. Tell me more about that, and do the boats have to be specially outfitted for it?
I don't think the boats have to be specially outfitted for it, but basically we have these cranes on the docks. And in fact, the port of Port Orford just recently replaced the cranes with new ones that are a little bit larger and stronger to hold the weight of the boats. And there are straps that are used to basically go under the boat and lift it up from the water to the top. And before they do that, they lift up, you know, the crabs or fish or whatever the fishermen have brought in. So it's kind of fun to watch. That's another thing people like to watch, just, you know, the boats being lifted out of the water.
Well, how long have you been mayor?
I got elected mayor in January of this year, but I was in the city council a couple of years before that.
Okay. So where did you come from? Why did you move to Port Orford?
Well, I've lived in Port Orford actually for about 23 years now. So it's a long time ago. I'm originally from New England, and I lived in a bunch of different places in the West. But I fell in love with Port Orford because of the reasons I described at the beginning. It's just a beautiful place, and it's got a wonderful community of people. So those two things just were really appealing to me. I like places where, you know, where people know their neighbors, where people build the culture of the community. It's a special place to be.
Well, tell me more about your background.
Well, I'm a writer, and so I'm an author, and it's sort of funny because I came here thinking, oh, I'll live in this quiet little town, and I'll have peace and be able to focus on writing my books. And what I didn't realize is that once you start becoming involved in a small community like ours, there's so many things that need to get done by volunteers. There's so many things to take care of that pretty much everybody has to figure out a way to pitch in one way or another, whether it's by, you know, helping to provide meals for seniors or being involved with some of the local service clubs or helping children learn to read or being involved with our local co-op, food co-op. So anyway, there's so many different things and a lot of people pitch in to do them. So in fact, living in a small town is not necessarily a great place to be a writer because you get distracted.
Okay, and so you obviously decided to run for mayor. So what inspired that?
Well, I was engaged with my community, as I said, as a city councilor first. And it's my belief that in a democracy that, you know, we all have to take a turn to step up. And I was just seeing that we had some older members on council. In fact, I was initially appointed to replace an older woman who just couldn't really, got to the point where she was not really able to do it anymore. And I just realized that it was time for me to step up. I'd been involved with some of the, some issues in the community, working on a lighting ordinance for dark sky lighting and some other zoning things. I also have been involved as a conservation advocate in my area, so I kind of knew how government worked. So anyway, all those things made me realize that I would bring complementary skills to the current council, and it's been great. I've really enjoyed working with those people, and everybody on council really cares about our community and looking for solutions to some of our problems. So it's good to work together.
In case you're just joining us, my guest is Ann Velisis, mayor of Port Orford, Oregon. Now, Mayor, your town recently acquired land to protect the water source. Tell me about that.
Well, that was actually, now that you're mentioning, that's another way I got roped into being mayor. Our local watershed council realized that a big chunk of land, 160 acres, directly upstream of our drinking water reservoir was slated for clear-cut logging. And in the Coast Range, where we have highly erodible soils, we knew that that could be very problematic for our drinking water supply. In fact, in the 1990s, we'd had a case where after logging in our drinking water source area, our watershed, there'd been a landslide that knocked out our water intake and our capacity to supply drinking water for at least a year. So the Watershed Council volunteers got on it and started lining it up and figuring out how the city could buy the land. And so I became a counselor in that time and really got involved in that project, which meant we had to actually, fortunately, the person who owned the land was very willing to sell it to us. They recognized the value of protecting the drinking water for the community. We were able to line up a bridge buyer, which is a bigger land trust. The Conservation Fund bought it up. bought it for us and held it, which gave us a time to line up various sources of funding. We had to take out a state revolving fund loan that was half forgivable to buy the land from the conservation fund. And then recently, we were able to get another grant to help us pay off that loan, which is really important. So this was a very important proactive step that we were able to take to, you know, prevent all that sedimentation in our reservoir that could have been catastrophic if that had happened. So that's really exciting. And we really needed the help to do it because it's very hard for a small community to come up with, you know, with $800,000 to buy a piece of land like that. But so we were grateful to be able to tap state and some federal funding sources for that too.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of proactive volunteerism in your region, and you're part of that. But your situation begs the question, if there's history of logging causing landslides, creating the sediment, blocking the drinking water, whose decision was it to clear cut it again?
Well, it was privately owned land. So, I mean, whoever owns the land, you know, it was owned by a logging company that was going to do that. So that's why we're really fortunate they were willing to understand that we wanted to buy it. But it's a very important question that you're asking, and communities up and down the coast now are looking at trying to buy their drinking water source areas so they have an opportunity to protect the water. And this is, you know, I mentioned I'm from New England. This is a big thing in New England. Well, also, you know, Portland has its drinking water source area protected. The community of Reedsport is trying to do it now just to take proactive steps to take care of and manage the watershed for drinking water is, you know, helps communities protect their drinking water for the long run. It's less, you know, some communities get their water from aquifers under a river, so that's a different sort of situation. But we take ours from a small reservoir on a creek nearby. So taking care of the watershed is a big part. It's like sort of the first part, the green part of the infrastructure that is our drinking water infrastructure. So we have to take that into account.
Well, it sounds reasonable. You take care of the land takes care of you.
Exactly. That's a very good way of putting it.
So what's top of mind for you this week?
Well, water is actually always top of mind for me. So we had that tremendous success in buying our drinking water and trying to protect our raw water source, our reservoir. But we have a lot of other problems in our city related to our aging water infrastructure. I'm probably going to run out of time talking about it, but that, in short, is a very big problem. We've not been able to hook up new houses because of our aging infrastructure. It means we can't always reliably provide water at this time. People can hook up to a well, but that's not really the long term of what we need to do for our community. We need to be able to have fix our infrastructure to be able to reliably provide water. And so that's my big project, is always figuring out how are we going to get funding to do that? How are we going to line up the projects to take steps in that direction? As you might imagine, with costs going through the roof, we've had a number of situations in the recent year where we've put projects out to bid and the costs have come in like double what the estimate had been. And so that kind of puts us back to square one, which is quite a challenge. Right now we're having to look for funding through grants and such, and those are maybe becoming less available. So sometimes it feels like a pretty much a giant Rubik's Cube to figure out how we're going to fix all the pieces that we can. But I try not to get overwhelmed by it and just take one step at a time. And, you know, as elected officials, we have to identify the problems and figure out the solutions and then look for funding the solutions. And so, you know, it's not rocket science, but there's so many problems it can be overwhelming.
Well, it sounds like you have a big job in a small place, but still a big job nonetheless. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thanks for talking, Mike. Have a great day and a great Thanksgiving.
You too. My guest was Ann Velisis, Mayor of Port Orford, Oregon.